friends, and welcome to another episode of What Page Are You On?
I can't remember what you say.
It's me, Alice Slater, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Bethany Rutter.
Yay!
She did it.
My first time doing the whole intro, and I still panicked and fucked it up.
It's a big responsibility.
I was bringing my own nervous energy to the opening.
Yes,
We did a switcheroo because I'm wearing my interview hat today. And you were in the hot seat.
I guess I am. But, you know, this is just a chat.
I didn't even have any questions written down.
Yeah, nor should you.
Anyway, Bethany Rutter, as you may or may not know, is an author. She's a lady author of romantic books. And also, where the fuck were we? We just got interrupted by something. I actually interrupted a previous episode we were recording. Well, I ordered some bottles of spirit because I am an amateur mixologist. I order specialist spirits in. And they come in this, like, blow up like super bubble wrap shit, and I think because it's so hot the air has swollen in the packaging and they just explode randomly like guns being fired.
Like it literally sounds like a gunshot.
Yeah, like, and that's the first time it happened. We couldn't work out what it was and we had to interrupt recording for like 10 minutes while I checked my entire flat to figure out what happened. Anyway, it just happened again and we both shit our pants, but we're back
and better than ever.
So we're here to discuss two books that have come out this year, written by...
It me.
Your friend and mine, Bethany Rutter. A double yoker.
It is literally a double yoker.
So before we go into them, how did that actually happen? How did you end up with two out in 1 year?
So the reason that I have two books out in 1 year is just because of how weird and slow publishing is. Because neither of these books were written, like, last year or even the year before, I think. It's just because, yeah, publishing schedules, and it just turned out like that. Sometimes it just be like that. And like some years you have no books and some years you have two books. And I don't know if next year will be a no book year. It might be a book year. Who knows? Maybe the year after. You just don't know.
I mean, because Bethany is so prolific that you've always got one in the can.
I've got two in the can at the moment.
Two in the can. Fucking shit.
Don't know when they'll come out, but it's just... It is like that.
Yeah.
And I think maybe people don't know that about publishing. That it can just be very sort of random and arbitrary when things come out, depending on, like, your publisher and, like, what their schedule is like. And obviously, I have two publishers, one for adult, one for young adult. And, yeah, it just happened that both of them... aligned so that they both come out this year. So Big Day Energy came out in February because that is like romantic time.
The romance month.
And then Slow Coach came out in July, which is just before the school summer holidays.
Because that be the YA. So I have read both, obviously. I loved both, obviously.
Thank you.
Let's start with Big Day Energy. We'll go in
chronological order.
Tell us about Big Day Energy.
So Big Day Energy is the story of a girlie called Fran who has been a serial monogamist, been in back-to-back relationships since she was a teenager, but deep in her soul has always wanted to have like her kind of, as she calls it, her slag era, where she just like dates prolifically. She's always really loved the idea of like kind of casual relationships and dating and thinks it looks really fun. She is now finally single and she is living her best life, but then her mum puts her up to go on a TV dating show. And the person that she gets paired up with is a face from the past who interrupts her slag era. So that is Big Date Energy.
I absolutely love that you managed to inject some reality TV into this one. Because you love your reality TV.
I love reality TV.
Which I think is surprising about you because I think of you as a more like...
serious person.
Serious TV watcher.
Yeah.
But you love your dumb shit too.
I contain multitudes, I think. So yes, I love I don't have many regrets in my life, but one of the only regrets that I have is that before I got into watching First Dates, I had already met my husband and I would love to have gone on First Dates.
Oh my God, imagine.
So this is my way of imagining going on First Dates.
Because it is like a First Date style show they go on, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like a date rather than like...
a dating show, like Love Island.
Naked Attraction. Imagine if it was like Naked Attraction
in my book.
Yeah.
Fortunately not.
And am I right in thinking that this originally, before you put pen to paper, you had planned to write a sequel to Welcome to Your Life, your first adult novel?
So I feel like what I originally wanted was to write a book about Nicole from Welcome to Your Life, who is the kind of like friend character from Welcome to Your Life. And that was my original plan. But then when I came to write this book, I just felt so... I feel like I need as few barriers as possible between me and getting a book finished. And one of the barriers to getting that book finished would be feeling kind of annoyed by having written things in Welcome to Your Life that meant that I did not have complete blank slate to write that book as I wanted to write it. I'd have felt too burdened by there being an existing universe that I could not as easily throw myself into the project of writing the book. So instead of writing a sequel to Welcome to Your Life about Nicole, I thought, let's just write a kind of Nicole-esque character, someone that has similar qualities to her. And because what I specifically wanted to do was write a character like that as the main character, because I think if you read enough books, you kind of figure out that like the main character is generally sort of more cautious, more sort of modest, less confident, they need to sort of learn to love themselves or need to learn to be brave or something like that. And I really wanted to write a main character who was traditionally like the friend, like the kind of fun character, and make them the main character, because I don't feel like I can think of that many books where that is the case. And I found out why when I started writing this book. It's really hard. It's actually really difficult, because if you write a character that is really confident and like is kind of capable of getting what they want, that doesn't really give them anywhere to go, like emotionally. So then the problem that I had with writing Big Day Energy was I had to figure out like, what does Fran actually need to like learn by the end of the book? Like how does she need to change by the end of the book to
make it? Yeah, because you can't just have her external life change.
Exactly.
There has to be some kind of character growth or arc.
Yes. To make it a satisfying reading experience. So I figured out that what she actually needs is to like be less of a nightmare in the way that like to be less of a kind of like exuberant main character in her life. Because I think at some point, if you just keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that, you forget that other people are also real people.
Which also I will say is probably one of the only times that I've read a book in which like the main character gets called out by the people in her life. I don't want to do spoilers, but like there is a scene in which she falls out with her friends, and it was like the one thing where like it is a positive trait, but I thought it was really interesting that you spun it into a slight negative in the eyes of others.
Yeah. And I do think that like that it behooves us to remember that like while we are going on all of these like journeys of kind of self-discovery and exploration and having fun and like going out and dating and whatever, that like the people that you are interacting with are also people. And I think, you know, maybe I have forgotten that in my life. So I felt like that was maybe a useful internal character arc to go through for Fran. And that was a way of resolving a problem I had created for myself by trying to make her the main character.
Yeah, that is fascinating, because I also feel like this isn't actually something I would have brought up, because I would worry that it sounded like a criticism, because without being able to
contextualize
like,
and
yeah, like without being able to like go into exactly how it resolves itself or like what happens. I suppose we kind of have, because it's not like a big point of the book, but without being able to do that, I would worry that it sounded like a negative. So I'm glad that like, you know, Bethany is fearless. She dived right in.
I dived right in. Because, like, I know that there are, you know, I really loved writing her as a character because she is really, like, fun and confident. And I loved writing someone that was not scared of dating, that really felt dating was, like, a fun and empowering thing to do. But she is also, like, kind of self-obsessed.
Yeah. And
which is kind of fine. Like, it's not the worst you know, she's not like a monster. Like, she's not an unpleasant person.
She's a fun character to spend time with.
She's just like a little bit of a nightmare. And yeah. Like, whomst among us is not, in our own special ways.
Because also she's young. How old is she?
She's not like that young. She's like, you know, 29.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
She's well, old enough to know better. I'm 38.
We're so mere children in our 30s.
To me, she's a baby.
She's a literal baby. But yeah, I feel like she's harmlessly nightmarish.
Yes. And low stakes nightmare.
Exactly.
She is like the kind of friend who, when you meet up with, you realise halfway through the night that you haven't shared, like, that you're pregnant yet or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, your big bit of news has not had the opportunity to be aired.
Exactly. But is fundamentally not, like, a bad person. So, yeah, that was, like, the big challenge that I was presented with writing that book. And it was a really... It really made me understand why these characters are the friend rather than the main character. And I'm glad I have taken on that challenge.
Can we please talk about the dating?
Yes.
So talk me through. Obviously, she meets, she goes on this disastrous reality TV date. But what other, like, dating hijinks does she get up to?
So she just loves... She loves being a slag. Like, she loves this... I think she has a sort of, like, rose-tinted view of dating in a way of, like, Sex and the City as, like, a kind of, like, aspirational girly vibe. And so she just, like, loves... She loves dating.
Because that's the thing. Like, there is no opportunity where she will not look for a shag.
Yeah.
Like... She could be doing fucking anything, man. Like, she's at a wedding. She, like, makes eyes with... Was it the wedding photographer?
No, she's the makeup artist.
That's it, yeah.
And it's one of the bridesmaids.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she's at work and she's just, like, yeah. Bang.
Yeah, and I think... So something that I really remember from, like, my dating life was this kind of vague jealousy of men for being able to have this very kind of, like... I really felt like... I sort of, like, envied that in a way. And so I wrote Fran as this just, like, very liberated person who sort of, yeah, moves through dating very, like, joyfully and without any fear. And that was very fun for me to revisit because, like, yeah, I loved dating. And it was a really fun time in my life. And it was a really fun way to meet people. And... Yeah, Fran is just, like, that times a million.
I also love, though, that, like, the, you know, lesson that she learns isn't fundamentally that, like, sleeping around is bad.
No, and that was really important to me. And that was another... I feel like I was presented with quite a lot of challenges with this book that I was still very committed to write because I felt like this was a story I really wanted to tell. So, obviously, one challenge was... How do you write a story with a main character who has learned most lessons about, like, personal growth? But two was, how do you write a romance novel where two people have to kind of end up together by the end without undermining the message of the rest of the book, which is about how much this person loves dating? And I feel like I hope that I did do that because I think, obviously... You know you're reading a romance novel, so I don't think this is a spoiler, but I think hopefully by the end of the book, the reader understands that it is not about her giving up her dating life because she has to. It's like, it just makes sense for her to be with this specific person because they are, like, the person for her, and that the dating was... as fun as she thought it was at the time, and now this is a new thing that is more fun in a different way.
Also, it's not out of character for her because the whole premise is that she was a serial monogamist.
Mm.
So, like, it's not that wild that she then
goes into
the right person,
yeah,
and ends up in a relationship with them. I only recently, have you seen the, like, discourse about whether or not romances have to have a happy ending to be classed as romance?
Yes.
I had never come across this before because I just thought genre was about a series of, like, tropes and textures and ideas that, like, create this kind of amorphous thing. I didn't know there was, like, a hard rule in romance that if it's not a happy...
Ever
if it's
after.
Not a happy ending, yeah, then it's not classed as romance. What say you to that?
I don't know. I feel like I'm open to either, but it has to have an ending that feels, like, satisfying to me.
Yes.
And if... I think I would read a romance novel that did not have that ending and enjoy it, but I can understand why people feel like that. That if I think it depends what kind of romance reader you are. I'm kind of more open.
But I guess I feel like, I mean, this has nothing to do with your book now, but we're just vibing. But I feel like whether or not you personally like it shouldn't affect whether or not the book is classified in that way. I think that's what I found really interesting about it. Because, like... If the primary thrust of the novel is the pursuit of a relationship or, like, a will-they-won't-they kind of thing,
I felt like that was enough. But I'm, this isn't my genre, so I'm happy to discover something new.
Yeah, it's something that I don't have particularly strong opinions on. And yeah, I do kind of wish there was a bit more room within romance for a different ending. That it, yeah, I think it's healthy to have a bit more space for a different ending where that is appropriate.
Because, yeah, especially because I suppose, like, if Big Bay Energy did not end with these two characters entering into a romantic relationship, but they still found, like, peace, to me it would still be...
Romance.
Like, as long as they had a romance.
What another
but came to the same conclusion. Like, I don't know.
What I think is also another alternative is that, like, they could end up together, but also she is still a slag. And yeah, I don't think I ever put onto the page that they're like in a monomous relationship, so maybe she is.
Oh.
And like, how does that then change?
So that's people's... me bringing my mono.
No, I don't know. No, I think there's a lot to unpack there.
So do you think, would you ever revisit these characters, or does this, like, the point regarding being limited in pre-existing worlds still apply?
I think it does still apply. I think I do like the freedom to just start again and imagine an ecosystem for a character that serves that character for the story that I want to tell. I do. I like the clean slate. I think it just makes my life easier. And I need that.
I will say, as someone who has now written two novels which involve writing the same linear timeline but from different perspectives, it's a fucking nightmare.
It is
a
nightmare.
I don't recommend it. There are so many more problems than you could possibly imagine.
Just boring problems. Like, it's boring problems as well, isn't it? Like, it's not even anything that interesting often. Like, it's often just, like, time, like, specific timings or location.
No, the worst thing is realizing that you've got something wrong and then having to unpick it. Oh. That's where the problem is. Anyway, we have two books to discuss.
We have two books to discuss.
So I'm going to promptly and smoothly move us to Slow Coach, which I only just read, and oh my god, I loved it so much. Could you give us a little nutshell of Slow Coach?
So Slow Coach is my novel that came out recently for young people, and it is the story of a girlie called Ruby, who is 15 and has just finished her GCSEs and is about to go into the sixth form. And at the beginning of every sixth form year, there is a run for the incoming sixth form. It's called the Dawson Dash. It's a 5K run. And Ruby feels a combination of so kind of ground down and humiliated by PE classes at school and also by her kind of mean, sporty brother that she decides to take up running out of spite with a view to running in this race that she tells her brother that she can win. Even though she kind of knows she can't. But she's just, yeah, she's, like, so determined to sort of get her own, like, almost get her own back against these structures that she feels so oppressed by in the form of PE classes and her bro, that she takes up running simultaneously to a new neighbour moving in next door who is a very cute boy who is into running.
But also, she makes the deal with her brother before she sees the boy, right?
Yes.
Which I really liked because the motivation is truly spite.
Yes.
Like, the decision to embark on this running was not to, like, impress this guy.
That
was just, like, convenient.
The boy
convenience
is...
for her getting to know this boy.
Yes.
But the thing that I really loved about Slow Coach is that it really reminded me of my own experience of, like, fitness and, like, moving as a kid. Because what the fuck is PE actually for?
It's insane. And I think about this all the time. And I've started doing school visits around Slow Coach, which is not, I've never done school visits before with either of my other books for young people. But for some reason, my publisher of Slow Coach, who is a different one to my previous books, is really into school visits. So I've done a few. I'm actually doing one tomorrow.
Fun.
It's really fun. And something that I say in that context and something that I think about loads is the fact that, like, is anyone you went to school with now a professional athlete?
Not a single person.
Me either. So, like, I don't think that that should be the goal of everything we learn at school, but I do think maybe PE specifically as something that can be so traumatic for people who are not good at it, maybe we should be thinking more about how to make it enjoyable rather than just about whether you are good at it or not.
Exactly. I mean, because especially as what really struck me, because I knew the premise of Slow Coach before I started reading it, And it opens with a PE class where she's struggling and her teacher's kind of humiliating her. And I was like, oh God, this is so familiar to me. But then the first time we see her with her friends, they're out fucking roller skating. Mm. Like, she is doing an activity. Like, she is, like, being active with her pals. And it really struck me because I remember, like, when I was a kid, I really loved dancing. I remember in, like, year six, we had to choose what we wanted to do in, like, our year, our little assembly. And I chose to be a little dancer. I used to go trampolining. I used to do quite a lot of, like, physical activities for fun. But they weren't the right kind of activities to do in PE. And in PE, although I think there's a lot of value in things like learning the rules to different sports, because that's fun. You want to be able to play fun sport if that's your vibe when you're older. So it's a great time to learn the rules of basic things like football and netball and whatever. But like that focus on being good at being picked for a team, although that was never something that I personally have trauma about, I know lots of people do, that like sense of being left out and also being yelled at for being shit, which I do have a lot of experience of, is also negative. And that by the time I left school, I had completely stopped doing all physical activity outside of school. I did not go trampolining. I wasn't interested in dancing because I was sick of it. I was sick of feeling humiliated, useless, and being yelled at. And I think I just love the fact that Slow Coach covers that, but also this character is not actually, has not been traumatized out of doing the things she enjoys.
I think that a lot of people have the same experience. I think it's really, really common. And I think it's very normal for PE to be this like formative place where you learn how you feel about movement. And I think that's why adults get something out of reading it, as well as hopefully young people. But that was I specifically wanted to write about this because for me, it is so true that PE is where I learned to not like exercise.
And as someone who, I mean, I've always thought of you as someone who exercises, but as someone who's found like specific joy in over the last like what, four years, like specific joy in like a broader range of movement. I thought like it was just a really well-placed jumping off point for thinking about exercise in a completely different way.
Thank you.
And I'm
saying
that as someone who like my exercise routine is walking my dog and I love it.
Which is that is
and it's also valid.
Real. It is real. It's a thing.
But also like going back to the PE lessons, like, and also running in general, because obviously exercise can be very painful.
Mm.
And like that's something that Ruby is like reckoning with. Like firstly at the beginning when, what is she doing? Is she doing burpees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which in a PE like, lesson as punishment for having been bad at the PE class.
Which is, like, double horrendous. Whammy, what, like, awful, because burpees fucking suck. But then also being punished for not, for coming last in, like, running laps, was it? Like, also...
Horrendous.
But I was thinking a lot about exercise and pain, and that actually, like, PE classes, a lot of the stuff that I shied away from was because I was frightened. I didn't want to jump off a fucking hobby horse.
Mm.
I didn't want to I didn't want to attempt a fucking, what are they called? A cartwheel. Oh. And I felt like actually looking back as an adult, my like autonomy was never respected because I think maybe because I was fat, that when I said, no, I don't want to do that, it was like, stop being lazy and do it. And then I would hurt myself and then I would feel bad and then I'd be even more scared to do the thing next time. And I thought like that psychological journey that she goes through from like the pain at the beginning, the physical pain at the beginning in that class, to the pain she experiences while running, but it's a pain that is lessening as she gets better at it and as she learns how to listen to her body and adjust to, I just thought it was good. I liked it.
I am so glad. Because obviously, you know, this is something that is important to me and like I'm partway through becoming a personal trainer, and I just feel like I feel about moving the way I feel about like reading and writing, in that I don't think everyone needs to do it. I don't think it's like important for everyone to do it, but I think there are probably many more people that would enjoy doing it than think they can do it. And so my project in life, especially with my school visit, is to say to these students, like, you could definitely write a book. Like, you don't have to write a book, and not all of you will write a book, but all of you could write a book, and all of you probably have an interesting story you could tell, either from your life, or a story you've heard, or inspired by something that you've read or seen, or whatever. And that's how I feel about movement, is, like, most people probably have something that they would enjoy if they were able to find it, and that it doesn't have to like look like what you think exercise has to look like, and it doesn't have to feel like it felt when you were at school, but there probably is something there. And I think that it's a nice thing to be able to like impart to people. And I think it's hard when you write for young people that you don't want everything you write to feel really like it's trying to teach you something, and that there's like all of these morals. But I do, that is something that I think it would be really nice and useful for more people to recognize earlier in their life than most people do.
But also, I mean, I do feel like the way in which the exercise element of Slow Coach plays out, which is the primary focus of the book, like that is what the plot is, the message that you're weaving into that feels maybe like it feels very like natural to the plot. Mm. Right, like it's very like what I'm trying to say is that I actually think like the kind of fat positive like nature of it is the thing that would stick out more to me as a young person, because that's shit that I had never come across before. Like, none of the books that I read, and we've talked about this on the pod so many times, but just having like a fat character doing something so unexpected and being very honest about her experience, like feeling self-conscious, like running in public, feeling embarrassed about the dude that she fancies, seeing how out of breath she gets, so relatable to me. I remember feeling like walking up a flight of stairs and being out of breath would be the most humiliating thing in the world, even though that's completely normal. Just normal, but like when you're fat, you're just like, oh god, now everyone's gonna know I'm fat, yeah, you know, like, oh, they're gonna think I'm even fatter because I'm out of breath after three flights of stairs. And I feel like, you know, like that, the interweaving of these two things basically was just very like artfully done. And I hope that like both of those messages will resonate with a wide range of kids, you know, like,
because
there's so many different reasons why, also so many different reasons why people may be like reluctant to pursue the physical activities that they really think that they would enjoy, such as roller skating, like because of fear of what other people think of them. And like, that's such a valuable message.
Yeah, I think feeling conspicuous is really like a thing that I think Ruby, the main character of this book, is very like embarrassed of, like, you know, feeling very visible. And I think it's that kind of, yeah, the word I always think of is like conspicuous. And I think that is something that I really wanted her to kind of be more okay with by the end of the book. And I think that that maybe that willingness to like be seen in these ways that previously she'd have been like, ooh, no, I think, I hope that is like a nice way to bring those two together.
And then of course she has her secondary motivation is to inspire her little sister.
Yes, so she is not only sort of existing in relation to her older brother, who is a source of like beef and irritation and kind of meanness for her, but she also has to recognize that she is existing in relation to her younger sister, to whom she is a role model, and you know, kind of having to come to terms with the fact that she is being, yeah, she is conspicuous to her younger sister called Sasha. And there's like loads of other stuff with like family dynamics, and also the niceness of meeting a friend who is like you.
Yeah,
I think that's something that is kind of underrated or not spoken about enough, is like the power, you know, obviously we talk kind of obliquely about like the power of female friendship a lot, but I do think that the power of finding a friend who shares like the things that maybe you aren't really comfortable in yourself, and you can help each other through that. I think that's like a really powerful, amazing thing to be able to do for someone.
Also, I really enjoyed that element because it was quite unexpected. Because like Slow Coach is a really petite little novel. Yeah, like she's short.
Yeah.
Which also, it makes me hope as well that it has a broader appeal in terms of like age range.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, like, so you're quite deep in when she makes friends with, what was her name?
Liv.
Liv. And that was quite exciting. I was like, ooh, okay, hello.
A new hun has entered the room.
Yeah, a new fat babe has stepped into the room.
Yeah, I love to write short books. I'm a very brief writer. I feel like I get things done in a very economical way, which means that's one of the reasons that I really quite like writing for young people, because you are sort of more incentivized to write shorter books. And I am glad that you think I packed a lot in, because sometimes I'm like, oh, what are my books even about? Like, what was that book? You know, I get to the end and I'm like, okay, did I actually do anything? And my friend John, his daughter read Slow Coach, and she was like, nearly at the end, and she was like, there's like five plots going on, and I don't know how Bethany's going to like resolve them all. And I was like, are there five plots in Slow Coach? And then with hindsight, I'm like, oh, actually I do.
There are quite a few threads.
I do quite a lot, and they do all get by the end.
Yeah, they do. Which again, like, I guess it's kind of inevitable that the book ends with the race.
Yes, it has to. It's the rules.
So I feel like it's not a spoiler to say that, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say that the final scene of this book, man, I'm not a crier, but there's just, like, a final scene that really, like, just my dry husk little eyeball just, like, squeezed the tiniest bit of moisture out of it. Like, it was just nice. Do you know what I mean? It was
just nice. I am very proud of Slow Coach. I feel like, I like writing for adults, but I do think that writing for young people, I feel like I've sort of, I don't know why I find it easier. I don't know why I find it more satisfying, but I do. And Slow Coach was really easy to write. I wrote it very quickly. And unlike other things I've written, naming no names, Big Date Energy, what is published in the book is very, very, very close to what I wrote as what I sent to the publisher in its first form. Whereas other books I've written, I had to sort of, really work on them. Whereas Slow Coach felt very natural for me to write. I had a very clear sense of what the book was going to be and who the characters were, and it was very easy to write. And I am happy that it seems to be good.
It is good.
Thank you, my friend.
I loved it.
Shall we go to the pub?
We have a date with an angel now. We're going to play some Uno.
In the pub with
the
Emily
silliest
Hatzer.
Friend we have, who will be listening.
The craftiest glass. Well, before we go, I will say Big Date Energy is available in paperback, ebook, and audio. And Slow Coach is available in paperback and ebook, not currently in audio, but maybe one day. So
good.
Please, if either of them sounded good, help out your friendly local author. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.